Hey, welcome everyone to Republic Broadcasting Network and the Rebel Madman Rabble Raiser, or something to that effect. First day with my new brain here, so I'm just figuring it out. It's a actually, folks, what we want to do and really concentrate on here is today is the first day of the year 2024, and we really want to get a jump start here for RBN, because this, folks, is going to be a real interesting year coming up. And the one thing you don't want to be is without a platform for the truth. So kind of to let everyone know, I've kind of thrown in here to help. And I have, we have a full-size quilt with the St. Andrew's Cross on it. And for a donation of $250, you will be put into the pool for the drawing. This quilt has never been used. There is a picture of it. And as soon as I stretched it out to take a picture, my little dog had to jump and be in the center of attention. Wonder how that happens. But the quilt has never been used. The quilt will be shipped to you. And management tells me that if you have made a donation of $250 or more since the 10th of December, to please call in to the office and let them know, and you will be entered into the drawing for the quilt as well. And so today was, I was trying to think, what can I talk about? And so I thought about something that's been on my mind quite a bit lately, as the more and more people seem to be waking up to the, well, over a century of lies that we've been taught in this country in the public school system that we call education. And it's not anywhere near education. It's indoctrination. That should be obvious to Ray Charles. And it's really a fraud. And from time to time in our history, people have caught on to this. And one of the things I was going to recommend very highly to you folks, if you haven't had the opportunity, is there was a gentleman who was State Teacher of the Year in New York on multiple occasions. He was National Teacher of the Year, and God rest his soul, he passed away a couple of years ago. I was fortunate enough in the late, I guess it's 98, 97, 98, somewhere in that time frame, to actually meet him in person in Tucson, Arizona. He gave a fantastic program. But folks, if you would really like to get an idea, now, it's going to require a commitment, because this tape or this video is 5 hours, 46 minutes, and 59 seconds long. And it's called The History of American Education with John Taylor Gatto. And folks, it is spot on. This man knew his history, and he knew what was happening to the children that he truly, truly cared about. And one of the things, I guess, you know, as we look at that, and I know he mentions it in his work, but one of the things I think so many people are not even aware is that the complete education system in this country is controlled and dominated by, you know, the Marxist. And the public education is the 10th plank of the Communist Manifesto. And we have the NEA, the DE, all of these organizations in place to make sure it functions. Why are we spending American tax dollars to conform to a Communist Manifesto? Folks, there's so many questions that you really need, and they're really not that tough. And there's questions we need to ask ourselves. Well, people who are pretty sharp figured out around the turn of last century that, hey, the easy way to control the people moving forward will be to control their minds and to control what they know. And so they've been operating at that wide open, and nothing has helped them more than the cell phone and, you know, cable TV and all the other stuff that they have given, and the computers, which have given them more and more access to the brains of the people. And we would think that, hey, that's a good thing. Well, maybe not, because it seems to have been leading the people away farther and farther and farther away from the truths of their own history. And there's, you know, quite a few quotes we could get into there. You know, we could go to Santayana and the people who fail to learn the lessons of history are destined to repeat its mistakes. And then Cicero, where the people who are unaware of their own history shall remain forever children. And we're seeing it play out in front of us on a daily basis. Well, back in the 1950s, there was this guy by the name of Carol Reese. He was from the mountains of eastern Tennessee, I believe, in the Johnson City area. And he, mostly a rural district, especially in the 50s. And he began to have some questions about what was happening with education. And he wanted to know why that three nonprofit organizations seemed to be controlling the school system. And of course, you know, you will wonder, well, how did they get control of the school system? How did they get control of anything? It's called money. And most people, I'm sure, are unaware that very early on, when the school systems really got started, 1920s earlier in you know, in big time, under these three nonprofit organizations, as the education just kept moving along, they realized, you know, we control their minds, we will control everything they do. So you control their history, and then you set about controlling everything they do emotionally. So anyway, those three nonprofit organizations were the Carnegie Foundation, Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation. And one of the things they found out that was really, really helpful for them, or maybe it would have been planned this way, that when they first started the school system, there was no retirement or pensions for teachers. So, okay, well, how can we get control of what is taught? Oh, here's what we'll do. We will come in and we will not only put into place a retirement system for teachers, but we'll foot the bill. Okay, and then, in essence, people do not understand. With that move, they bought education, the very beginnings of education in America. Because the people in those school systems, and John Taylor Gatto describes this much better than I do. So if you get a chance, and if you truly care about the truth, look into that. And especially, you know, like I said, you might want to do it just in segments, maybe riding down the road. Sometimes when you're alone, you can still listen to it. I wouldn't want you watching it, but you can still listen to it. Which is, you know, it is most educational. Well, going back to, I think we should. We can start off with a scripture here. And I quote, "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth." Unquote, Revelation 28. Well, the Reese Committee that I mentioned before uncovered a well-financed effort to change the way Americans viewed their history, and it began, as previously mentioned, early part of the 1900s. And it's really critical, I think, that we understand this. And that congressional committee uncovered some facts about the manipulation of the United States government and the educational system by these three tax-free organizations, 501c3s, I guess we'd call them. These charitable institutions formed a powerful and influential network that changed the way Americans have viewed their history for quite some time. And we look at it, and one of the things that I've done is I actually wrote an article some time back titled, you know, of all things, you know, what will we believe next? And I write about these things, and I do my programs on these, my Substacks. And sometimes I try to keep them at 1 hour for the podcast, keep them at 1 hour. And with the written, we can, you know, go into whatever we so desire. And that gets to be fun. But folks, if anyone would like to call in, we're going to make this kind of an open deal today where we can talk about education. We can talk about the subjects that you want to bring up. I would really like to make this today, if we can, this Rebel Madman Rouser event. I would really like to make this as much about the listener to RBN as I possibly can. And so if you feel up to chatting or would like to join in the conversation, please do so. And we will continue talking about education some in the meantime until we do get such callers if they call in. I know, realize today's a tough day. A lot of people got family stuff they could be doing or and can be doing. So we'll know that is going on. And then I would like to also wish a happy birthday to my good buddy over there in Alabama, Mr. Darrell Wayne. And you folks who have listened to very many of my programs have surely heard Mr. DW. Jumping back into that education deal, I think one of the things that struck me was they got a gentleman, Norman Dodd, to, you know, he's passed away also. And there was a great video on YouTube of he and G. Edward Griffin. I would also, about this subject, and I would also highly recommend that to those of you who would like to listen. Now, he was hired as the chief investigator, and they uncovered all kind of evidence that there had been a conspiracy to alter the way Americans view history by changing the content in textbooks available in schools. Yes, that actually happened. And one of the things I remember from listening to Mr. Dodd was the fact that when they went to the Ford Foundation and he talked with the gentleman, and now this is not Henry Ford, but this was the Ford Foundation. And they were talking to one of the leaders, and the gentleman said, when Norman Dodd expressed some concern about some things within their own documents, the gentleman said to him, said, well, I thought that everyone knew and understood that what we were trying to do here is to keep everything in line with the Soviet Union. So what does that tell us? Well, it takes us back down the history rabbit hole, right? And we go down and we start looking at, okay, 1900. How long is that after Reconstruction that they completely take over the education system? Huh. And what happened to bring on Reconstruction? It gets to be fun when we tie some of these things together. But Norman Dodd quoted, I think his name is pronounced Rowan Gunther, the president of the Ford Foundation that I mentioned before, and he stated that they operated under the directives, and I will give you a direct quote, to use our grant-making power so to alter life in the United States so it can be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. Right straight out, folks. And they have gotten to the point to where they really don't cover up their tracks near as well, because they found out that even when the American people find out they've been lied to, they don't do anything. So Dr. Joseph Johnson, who was at the Carnegie Endowment for the International Peace, actually permitted Norman Dodd and his staff to examine the 50 years of handwritten minutes to their meetings. Dodd sent a well-educated lawyer by the name of Catherine Casey to examine those records. Dodd realized that Casey did not know what was in the records, and he sent Catherine because she was skeptical of any wrongdoing on the part of these foundations, philanthropic organizations. You know, how could they be doing anything bad? Her mind and her life were changed as she read the minutes of the 1908 meeting, which discussed war as the best way to alter the lives and the thinking of the American people. In 1909, it was discussed how to involve the U.S. in a war, deciding that control of the State Department was absolutely essential. Later, after America entered World War I, a message was dispatched to President Wilson to discourage an early end to the war. This could explain Wilson's interest in the UN, then called the League of Nations, the Federal Reserve, and the income tax, and his rather shaky comments sometimes. And I was just looking at one, and it says, quote, "Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the U.S. in the field of commerce and manufacturing are afraid of somebody, are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they had better not speak above a whisper or condemnation of it," unquote. And that's what Mr. Woodrow Wilson said as President of the United States. Well, after World War I, it was determined that the key was the alteration in the teaching of American history. Noted and respected historians like Charles and Mary Beard were approached, but they rejected the overtures of this completely controlling, appearing to be benevolent enterprise. The Guggenheim Foundation, on the other hand, agreed to supply fellowships to hand-picked historians who began to write history with a new slant and a delusive perception. The books, underwritten by these altruistic organizations, were quickly picked up by schools whose economic bottom line often determined the quality of the curriculum. So, yeah, we've got a caller. We've got Sherry from Kansas. Let's bring her in. Sherry, Happy New Year.
You too. Good morning.
Here comes the music. Oh, we got cut off right as the music. We'll be back on the other side. Okay?
Yeah.
It's primitive as can be.
Don't be a victim. Is your home and car protected from an EMP event, or will you be a victim? EMP Shield will protect your home, car, or generator from the damaging effects of an electromagnetic pulse and lightning. Folks, this is the exact equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect their infrastructure, and each unit comes with $25,000 of insurance coverage. To get a $50 discount on each unit purchased, go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Or call the toll-free order line 24 hours a day. 800-592-9543. That's 800-592-9543. Don't be a victim.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Used to be Andy and Barney 5. Now a tired Stern and a brothel life. Too much crap drive the world insane. Everybody singing the jailhouse blues. Don't believe a word of the evening news.
Welcome back, folks. Hard to jump in there on old Hag with all of his beautiful melodic verses. We have Sherry with us from Kansas. And Sherry, go ahead. We got interrupted by a break there.
Yes, sir. I just finished John Taylor Gatto's book, Weapons of Mass Instruction.
Yes, ma'am. That's a good one.
I would like to recommend that, especially to all the young people that are listening that have children. I'm probably going to try to get my grandchildren to read it because they have toddlers. He is so right. I had his The Underground History of American Education, but I passed that on to my son and his wife when these kids were teenagers. But
right.
I don't even know if they read it, but that is considered his opus, you know.
Mm-hmm. But, go ahead.
Something he mentions in it, and since you were in military and Vietnam War, he mentions, and I had never known this, I'd heard Prouty allude to it, that before the French came into what is now called Vietnam, it was really 3 countries. And 2 of them in the north were actually from people were of Chinese origin, and the people of the South were actually related to India, you know, that culture, which I thought was interesting because I had never heard that, you know.
Yeah, it was a very interesting story about Vietnam. I mean, Ho Chi Minh and Vo Nguyen Giap were very instrumental in helping the United States military in World War II in Indochina. I mean, they were just a huge help. And so when the war is over, Ho Chi Minh, Vo Nguyen Giap, they petitioned the United States for independence because prior to that, they were known as Aman or French Indochina. So they wanted to, they even wrote a constitution. They wrote, in essence, a Declaration of Independence, and they wanted to join. They wanted to be free. They just wanted to be their own country. Imagine that. And so the United States says, no, you still belong to France. And so you think there might be a reason for them to really hate us after that?
Well,
and then,
didn't they pattern? See, my late husband told me this too. And he said that they patterned their constitution after ours.
And that would be correct. And that was because they thought, looking back on history and America becoming independent, they thought that was something to aspire to, and that they thought it was honorable, and that's something they wanted to do as well. But here, our government shoved them right back into the hands of the French. And, of course, you know, then you go through everything till you get to Dien Bien Phu and look at, you know, the French being chased out of by the people who wanted their own country. And, of course, you know, then we jump in and get involved. And a lot of people are not aware that the first president to send troops to Vietnam was Mr. Dwight Eisenhower, 1959. And so they were not, you know, and pardon me, I mean, you know, we lost 58,184 military personnel in Vietnam, including 11 women. And, but, you know, and this is the thing why I think America has become the most hated country on the planet, is because we are such hypocrites. And everybody else sees it. The people that I talked to saw it, you know, 40 years ago, and I know it's even worse now when we actually look at, you know, the hypocrite part. You know, I was talking with someone this morning, and they were just saying, oh, have you heard there's a new story about Chinese on the Mexican border and how we ought to really be concerned about that? And I said, you know, isn't it really crazy in America that you could get the population of this country just all bent out of shape if you told them that the Chinese were having military operations within sight of our border? How many people would go, oh, well, it's time to nuke China? How many people would be doing that? And yet we have military personnel in over 140 different countries.
Yes.
It's, to me, the absolute hypocrisy. And I'll never forget, I was thinking about it this morning, something else I did a few years ago. I wrote an article, and this is when George W. Bush, as it was a published article, and George W. Bush was going through all of this stuff about the, you know, the evil three countries, you know, all of this stuff that needed to be done, you know, blah, 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 blah. Ah, here comes that Freebird. We'll be back on the other side, folks. Thank you.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read one. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered from a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious, he almost died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives that were more affordable, he tried Extendivite. Since taking it, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Yankee letter said that they'd be coming any day, and if you planned on getting out alive, best be on our way. Our tattered gray was torn between if we should run or fight, but our southern pride swelled up inside as we dug in for the night. Then I heard a rider calling, they're coming down the road, and the fiery flash of 20-pounders started to explode. Tried our best to stop them, our efforts were in vain. In the distance you could hear the sound of Dixie's last refrain.
Ah, those wonderful bluegrass boys from up there in western North Kakalaki, the home of the Blackball Spooks. So, Sherry, we had a break there. Are you still with us, young lady?
Yes, and I have a question for you. Did you ever get the chance to meet Anthony Sutton? You seem to have met a lot of important people.
No, ma'am, I have not. I did not meet Mr. Sutton.
I'm reading a book that's got some of his stuff in there, and I didn't know too much about him, but he apparently, when he was young, and he was in World War II for England.
Uh-huh.
And then after he got out, he went into, although he had a degree in economics, he also had a background in steel and stuff, and he worked in the steel business in Europe, and then came to the United States is how he got out to California. And he got frustrated with the business, and he went into get further degrees. And he ended up writing like four huge volumes. You talk about opus. This was his opus. And he was doing a lot of the work at Stanford under the Hoover Institute. And he wrote Western Technology and Soviet Economic Development. And It sounds like what do they call it when you're gathering this information, intelligence, and open source intelligence. He basically did it, and he had to get some stuff from government that some of it, he said, was like clawing, get it from him, because they didn't want to admit during World War II days, they were, giving the Soviets all this stuff, building them up. And a lot of people over here were making money on it. But, he was doing this during the Vietnam War. And he found out all this stuff that was, this technology and stuff that was given to the Soviets during the Vietnam War. And that was ending up, being used against our guys.
Well, Sherry, in Vietnam, early part of the war, the primary weapon that the VC or the NVA had was the old World War II M1 carbine, and that was only made in America, and that was the weapon that was being used against us. And number two, in many instances, was what was called a Bouncing Betty, which was a landmine, which the person who stepped on it actually activated it, and after they stepped off of it, it blew up to about almost head height, and then it exploded. So they found out they killed the U.S. developed that mine. And so it took me back to L. Fletcher Prouty's discussion that at the end of World War II, there was a planned 500,000 man invasion of the Japanese islands. And they had stockpiled all of these supplies for that invasion on Okinawa. Well, after dropping the atomic weapons at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the war's over. And so then what do we do with all of these military supplies? Well, they were split up, according to L. Fletcher Prouty. They were split up. Half of them went to Pyongyang, North Korea, and the other half went to Hanoi, North Vietnam. Now, where did America fight their next two wars? Korea and Vietnam. Well, if you want to fight wars with people, they have to have guns and bullets, don't they? Go ahead.
Yeah, and I remember hearing him say that, too, when I would hear him on Tom Valentine's show on shortwave. I heard him say that, too. But he's mainly talking in his... in his four books about how industry, people in the United States, is making money selling Soviet Union technology because they tried to pretend they were developing this on their own. The United States State Department instead. Oh, well, they're doing it on their own, but our companies were feeding them this stuff. In fact, he talks about Henry Kissinger okayed the export of center line B machines to the Soviet Union. These had only one end use, to machine ball bearing races to extremely high accuracy for MIRV-ing Soviet missiles. And Henry Kissinger okayed that.
Oh, imagine that.
Yeah. And,
imagine that.
And it's just like, this stuff that happened during the Clinton. You know what I think got Anthony Sutton killed?
What was that?
Because he used to, he was writing this future technology, what was it called? Future Technology Intelligence Report, and right now I'm reading a bunch of them right after 9/11. And he had been looking into these free energy devices over Unity stuff, and he talked about those a lot. And he kind of ties it into, he was talking about it right before 9/11, because he names a few things that they were that he had seen, read the stuff on, and they seemed to be, you know, viable. How the Navy and government was trying to keep him from going out there. And he died less than a year after 9/11 under circumstances. It was unexpected and unexplained. And I think it said that he never even got an obituary.
Hmm.
It's amazing. Anyway, I've tied up the phone line. Oh, I had one more thing to add. Last night,
yes,
when
ma'am.
I called in and it was the end of the show, I wanted to add something that I heard Marie Lassiter, that coroner in Texas County, Missouri, say that there is a rise in deaths in women within a year after childbirth. An unexplained rise in that. And
is that area specific? Is she just talking about a specific area,
no,
or the
I
entire
this
country?
No, all the United States. Sounded like. Not just Missouri. Yeah, and she's kind of... she tried on this one, I think it was local to them. Well, was the lady vaccinated with the COVID shot? And they wouldn't answer. You know, or no, I think this was a state of Missouri official mentioned something, and she asked the state official that, and they wouldn't answer. So they wouldn't even look into that. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in because she did say that. She's very good. So.
Well,
anyway.
Thank you so much for calling in, Sherry. Really appreciate it.
Right.
And have a blessed new year.
You too.
Thank you. All right, folks, let's get busy here on getting some contributions into RBN for this beautiful St. Andrew's Cross. Sometimes I want to call it the Confederate battle flag. I prefer to call it the St. Andrew's Cross because this puts the cultural Marxist in their place. It is a religious symbol. That is why they want to get rid of the Confederate battle flag and not the first or the Bonnie Blue or the second or the third. They don't want to get rid of those. They have no Christian significance. That's why the target has been on the Confederate battle flag, the Confederate naval jack, but it's the St. Andrew's Cross. And so that, to me, is most critical along those lines. And, you know, I was mentioning before, you know, the education deal and thinking about, you know, going back on, you know, we've all heard, I remember when I was a kid, you know, you helped out, everybody wanted to help out in the library when you could, you know, because you only got to go to the library in the small Appalachian Mountain school where I went, you only got to go to the library with supervision back then. And you couldn't research on your own. They took whole classes into the library. I'm sure that wasn't everywhere, but it just happened to be where, you know, where I was from. And so, you know, we look at so much of this and how this education system has been perverted. And then, like I said, if you listen to John Taylor Gatto, you will get quite a bit of it. And then there is also, I would like to tell you folks also, this is another great source. Now, my wife Susanna was in education for over 30 years. And I remember all those years talking about what was happening and how disconcerting it was to her over that period of time, how upset she became at the education system, how it kept changing. And of course, you know, John Taylor Gatto says the same thing. And we talk about the self-esteem and we talk about all of the other stuff. And all of this comes through the education system. No child left behind, you know, all of this other stuff, Common Core. All of these are Marxist programs, people. Your children are being trained under Marxism. And you just keep sending them. You know, and I don't understand it. I don't understand why we keep doing that. But as I mentioned before when I was talking with Sherry, let's take a look. Take a long look, people, at just how Americans are viewed. We are viewed as a bunch of arrogant hypocrites across the planet. And so, oh, wow. You know, we demand that other people do things. And I was going to get into it with Sherry, but I think this was one I will always remember is way back, possibly, you know, 4 or 5 years after, as I started to tell this story earlier, 4 or 5 years after 9/11, I wrote an article about, I said, well, you know, George W. Bush wants to get rid of North Korea and Iran and, you know, all of these, the axis of evil. He wants to get rid of the, you know, these people should not have arms. And, you know, one of the things that kind of struck me, and I realize an old mountain redneck hillbilly here, but it didn't make sense to me for people who scream, my Second Amendment, my Second Amendment, my Second Amendment. No, you guys can't have arms. You might hurt somebody. Has anybody ever looked at the duplicity of that? The absolute blatant hypocrisy? I mean, I wrote an article about that. Here in America, we've got Second Amendment groups in almost every state, in some in counties and cities all over this country. Oh, my Second Amendment this. Oh, you got the, you know, the wonderful folks up there in Virginia. You know, and all of the others, oh, well, you know, gosh, let's don't forget that. Don't forget that. You know, the NRA, you know, all of these Second Amendment groups. Why do you need arms? Oh, we need to protect. We need to have arms to protect ourselves from a runaway tyrannical government. Well, pardon me, but what do you think that North Korea and these other countries want arms for? Who is the only country that has ever used nuclear or atomic weapons on another country? Was it North Korea? Was it Iran? Was it others? Folks, this is part of the mind control. You have been hit with mind control after mind control after mind control after mind control for the majority of your lives. And this was the thing, again, I was talking with several former associates, former colleagues, and you cannot turn on television. I don't care if it's the production or the commercials or what happens. Regardless of what it is, you still get, it's crazy. It's mind control, complete mind control. Well, my goodness, so we've got William from Minnesota. Okay, William, hey, buddy, good to hear from you today. Happy New Year. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. Gay.
Sure.
I always listen to you whenever I can. So I wanted to bring up two books. Well, I'm sure everybody's heard of the one about the intentional dumbing down of America, but there's another book that was referenced in there called The Leipzig Connection. It's by a guy named Paolo Lyoni. And essentially, he goes into how this all works with the education system. And, at its core, they see human beings as nothing but a mechanism of stimulus and response. They don't see it. They don't see people as human. So how do they operate the mind control when it really comes down to it? It's B.F. Skinner tactics, operant conditioning, negative stimuli from either being outnumbered, so you're looking at a majority of people who you want to align yourself with because we feel this need to be like others, or it comes from an authority such as a teacher. And so that's how they shape public opinion, is through the B.F. Skinner operant conditioning. And that's ubiquitous. It is. That's what they do constantly on TV. It's not a mystery, like the psychology behind how operant conditioning works. And especially when it's intermittent operant conditioning, it's very successful getting people way off the path of a reality like we see today.
Yeah, a very, very, very adept or adroit observation there, William. Are you familiar with a book called Crimes of the Educators?
No, I'm not.
Put that on your list, sir. that was a book, as I started earlier, and I think we had a break or something we said with Sherry, but years ago, and as I said, my wife has been in education and spent, and I was really thankful for that. We spent some great years on several American Indian reservations, met some wonderful people there, just a different lifestyle. But anyway, to get back to the point, one of us, and I forgot which one it was, one of us purchased this book several years ago when we were living in Colorado, and we purchased this book, Crimes of the Educators. And my wife sat down at the couch, and I was sitting in kind of a lounge chair, and we were sitting in the living room, and this is usually where we read and talked and what have you, and all of a sudden she slammed the book down, and I went, "What's wrong?" And she goes, "I can't read anymore." And I said, "Is it wrong?" And she says, "No, it's spot on. I can't read anymore. It makes me angry." And so I picked it up, and I read it, and I got the same feeling. If you get a chance, read this book. It was so well done, and every American who sends their child to public school, they ought to have to read that at least once a month, the entire book.
Well,
go ahead.
I'll pick up a copy of it. Well, the one thing I wanted to mention, too, is, I mean, this is really, I think, how the devil sees us. He sees us like we are just stimulus response. And when we live without faith, we can be essentially, like, I see the devil a lot like a matador, right? You're going to stare at that red thing. He hangs out in front of your face. He's hiding there. I mean, he's not hiding. He's there. You see him when you walk into the ring as the bull. But if you fall for that stimulus response way of being, you're done. You're devoured by them. And that's really what the system is set up to make us fall into that at every step. And, you know, it relies on that. And when you can step out of that, I think it's really at the core of being human. And this is also, that's why it's, you know, it's not just psychological. This is so spiritual, and trying to get people to you bring the full explanation to what's
I try,
happening.
William. I try because, and you know, here's the thing: is I know, you know, my grandfather, one of the greatest influence in my life, you know, a human influence, and lived into his 100th year, and he taught me so much. As a man with just a second grade education, he taught me so much. And the first thing he taught me was that people who don't go to school are more intelligent than the people who do, because they've been programmed. And then, of course, later to actually be employed by the oxymoronic, government intelligence agency, and that folks is oxymoronic. So it's really a scary ordeal when we look at it, and you begin to see these things that have been planned for better than a century, sometimes over two centuries. These things have been planned, and you see the people falling for the same mistake over and over and over and over again. And so, you know, William, I think you have to go back to, you know, the old definition, you know. Those who do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, are in essence insane. Your thoughts?
No, I think you're right about that. I think what's happened because of the way the education is set up, that they don't turn people loose. Like this book gets into some of the older ways that educated people, which was just focus on getting somebody confident at reading well, reading comprehension, mathematics, and then the idea pre-1900 was turn them loose on the world. They have the basic skill set to think critically and use the tools of arithmetic and reading to basically go out into the world and let the truth, you know, reveal itself and into this new education system, which is completely shaped through, you know, opera conditioning, and it's nonstop. And you can see it in one of the other things you mentioned about the educated people or your grandfather only having a second grade education. People got to recognize, just like they they heavily fund the controlled opposition, right? They just rain down money. Well, they also devote a massive amount of resources towards your educated classes because they are smart, and so they know they've got to inundate them with this operant conditioning, and the longer they can stay in school, you can basically knock your high IQ portion of the population right out of the game. Because, you know, I mean, I see it with a lot of my peers that have, you know, upper graduate degrees. They're actually, worse off than some of the people you might encounter that don't have a high school education, or maybe that's all they have, because they're just, their exposure has just been so much longer and drawn out. And I don't know how the heck, as somebody who is educated like myself, I praise God that I somehow made it out. I made a decision to throw to not watch TV during my 20s and read old books. And I don't know, I didn't even know why. It was just raw instinct. Had nobody in my life that was, just things didn't feel right. And I think that's really what set me up to become a wise father at this point, or somewhat wise anyway, wise enough to know what's going on with the education system.
Oh, well, makes me exceedingly proud there, William, and I hope you don't mind while you were talking there. Of course, I was listening to your educational points, and they're spot on. And if you are aware of history, you know when and where they have been directed to learn, the government pablum and the Marxist pablum and not the truth, because that old thing about you shall know the truth and it'll set you free. And folks, it will. The truth of history, of your true American history, will set you free from this mental mind boggle you find yourself in. But William, sir, and your remarks are so well done. May I ask you a question, please, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If William, if you were to, you obviously listen to RBN, or you wouldn't have called in today. If you were to tell other people, how would you describe RBN to the people within your immediate circle?
Well, I think I put it in your words. RBN's going after the remnant.
Well, I think that's true, and I think we got some music coming up. William, do you want to hang over to the other side of the hour, or do you have things to do?
I've got the wonderful task of having to spend the day with my children. So,
I'm so envious. God bless you, sir. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for calling RBN.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.